calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. Here's Tom Hartman.
Well, is the election being hacked? Are we in trouble? I don't know. It's absolutely incredible. Here's a little bit of audio from television station in Beaumont, Texas, Jefferson County, Texas, the largest and nearest city, Beaumont. By the way, welcome to the program. Tom Hartman here with you. Beaumont, Texas, KFDM is the TV station. This off their website. The announcer starts out by saying KFDM is receiving reports, and that little bit got clipped off here, but it's KFDM.
And continues to get complaints from Jefferson County voters who say the electronic voting machines are not registering their votes correctly. Last night we told you about people who had cast straight Democratic ticket ballots, but the touchscreen machines indicated they had voted a straight Republican ticket. Some of those voters, including Lamar University professor Dr. Bruce Drury, believe the problem is a programming error. Today we spoke to another voter who says it's not just happening with straight ticket voting. He says it's happening on individual races as well. Jerry Stouffer told us when he voted for a Democrat, the Republican's name was highlighted.
And then here comes the testimony of the guy.
There's something in these machines and in this equipment that's showing Republican votes when you vote for Democrats. And I know Ms. Guidry is a nice lady and she's working hard, but her theory that my fingernail is somehow over the Republican button is just unrealistic. My fingernail was not.
And Ms. Guidry is the election supervisor and the reporter for KFDM continues.
Jefferson County Clerk Carolyn Guidry says her office has checked the calibration of the machines and found no problems. She says the electronic system is very sensitive. She told KFDM that's a concern she has expressed since county commissioners chose the machines. Guidry advises voters to carefully review their choices and make any changes before pressing the vote button. Another reminder for voters is that just because you press the straight party button does not mean you can't go to individual races and vote for a candidate of another party. A Democratic candidate for Congress is expressing his concern about the situation in Jefferson County and about electronic voting systems throughout the country. Gary Bindrum is the Democratic nominee for the 2nd Congressional District, currently held by Republican Ted Poe.
Now, the problem here is that this is the guy that people are trying to vote for, and the votes are going to Poe, and so he's a little concerned.
Bindrum spent the day campaigning in Beaumont and stopped by KFDM this evening. He had this to say about the problems with the machines.
And here's the Democratic candidate.
I think that we have rushed, and we haven't got the best machines that we could, and we don't have a verifiable printer trail in a lot of states. And I think the Congress is going to have to revisit the issue. I think we're going to have to actually set some standards.
Gee, what a novel idea. And that, by the way, a real Texas accent, not like the phony one that George W. Bush imitates. Brad Friedman is with us. Bradblog.com, one of the, has become one of the leading experts in the country on hacked voting machines and vote fraud. Brad, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Good morning, Tom. How are you, sir?
Just great. We have, on top of all, all these reports coming in from all over the United States, two questions. Number one, have you heard of any, I know that the report that I just played from KFDM, this is a CBS television station in Jefferson County, Texas, in Beaumont, Texas. This is not the left-wing press. This is your basic local TV station. These reports coming in from Florida, coming in from Ohio, coming in from Texas. Have you heard any of these reports of flipped votes where it flipped from a person pushing the Republican button and it goes to the Democrat?
So far, not a one.
So 100% of the and how many of these reports have we gotten where people push the Democratic button and it flips to Republican?
Well, let's see. So far, we're getting reports. That one was from I think Jefferson County, Texas. Had another one from Bexar County, Texas. Another one from Dallas, Texas. Had St. Louis County, Missouri, South Florida, Arkansas. Every single report is now coming in that it's a vote flipping from Democrat to Republican. Now I'd love to believe that this is just a programming error, which in and of itself underscores the unbelievable disaster ongoing that we're using these machines at all in the first place. But, yeah, the fact that virtually, well, in this case, in 06 so far, every single reported incident that I know about is Democrat flipping to Republican, really mirrors a lot of what we saw in 2004, where I think there was, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of reports of this happening across the country, votes right. flipping from Democrat to Republican.
And in 2002 as well.
And, yeah, and not... And not the other way around. That said, HBO's documentary that airs tonight does show a vote machine, a Republican, who is trying to vote for herself on machine after machine in the warehouse. And, in fact, it does flip over to the Democratic candidate. So, you know, this is hitting everybody. And I'm worried about that clip that you played where the fella is saying, oh, geez, we should have thought about this before. We should have a paper trail. Well, the problem is a lot of these touchscreen machines do have a paper trail, but the dirty little secret about paper trails versus paper ballots is that no one actually counts those paper trails.
Right, it's not an audit trail. It's just it's a decorative. It's a placebo.
Right, it doesn't work. You need somebody right. to mark a ballot, an actual paper ballot, and then you actually have to count that ballot. Yeah. I know it's a
now,
radical concept.
Now there's another Brad blog. We're talking about Brad Freeman, bradblog.com, and at the bottom of the hour we're going to be talking with Bev Harris, blackboxvoting.com or .org rather. And Bev is the star of a new movie that's going to be on HBO tonight, a documentary on the hacking of the elections and the hacking of the vote. And so we'll get into that a little bit later on in this first hour. But, Brad, a huge story that you broke at bradblog.com. You have double, triple, quadruple checked this. It turns out, tell me if I've got this right. If I go to vote on a Sequoia machine, if I reach around to the back of the machine, there's a little yellow button there that most people don't know is there, and I push that button, and it flips the machine out of automatic vote, automatic mode, which means that it only lets me vote for one, only lets me vote once, and flips it into manual mode, and then I can stand there and I can push a candidate's button over and over and over again. I can vote for a guy 100 times. I push the yellow button again. It stores those 100 votes in memory as 100 people having voted and turns back into the automatic mode and looks like it's operating normally again.
Yep, you got it exactly right. And the fella, I interviewed two folks who reported this out here in California to the Secretary of State's office, who, by the way, seems to have done nothing about it and denied that it was even an issue and that he even knew about it after they had told him. But, yeah, you've got it right. One of the fellows who I interviewed said that you can vote as many times as you want until you are somehow restrained physically from voting.
So the old saying, vote early, vote often.
Indeed. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, these very Sequoia machines are in use in Chicago this year. So
that's ironic.
Be out there.
That's ironic.
They're all over the country. Yeah. And the fact that, that this is just coming out now, days before the election.
Well, the election's going on right now in a lot of these communities.
Well, that's right. It's already going on. And I don't know how these machines could have passed muster with something like that. These guys, one of the ways they found out about it was through a public records request, and they requested a booklet, a troubleshooting booklet for these Sequoia machines. And it says quite plainly and simply, here's how you enter manual mode, and you can vote as many as you want, and you follow these easy steps. It's remarkable, and it's mind-blowing. And frankly, Tom, I fear that the worst is still to come. I think there may be some bombshells between here and the election, and once we get to the election day, I'm going to be on the air broadcasting all night long because I suspect we are going to see meltdowns across the entire country.
Yeah, you'll be over at bradblog.com, and I know that you'll probably be one of the folks that will be reporting into Air America Radio. Air America is going to be offering live election coverage. I'll be phoning in from time to time with commentary and thoughts on that. I'll also be phoning in with commentary and thoughts to Alex Bennett, who's doing live coverage on Sirius Satellite Radio that carries this program as well on election night. And I look forward to talking with Alex on that evening. This is just amazing, amazing stuff, Brad. The hacking of the election is happening right in front of us. Last time, there wasn't so much early voting, and there wasn't good reporting, and so all of this stuff came out months after the fact. Now, here it is, what, five, 6 days before the election, and And the stories are coming out already.
And we're, you know what, we're paying attention this time. You know, it's still a, really a ragtag band of citizen patriots out here because the mainstream media, I think, still underestimates the problem here. I know that the political parties certainly do.
Yeah.
But we're going to pay attention.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
VideoTheVote.org, people can check that out. VelvetRevolution.us, people can check it out. BradBlog.com, all great resources. But the bottom line is when you go in to vote, if you're going to be using an electronic voting machine, take a video camera with you. Be discreet about it. Don't try and video anybody else's vote, but videotape your own voting process. And if there is a problem, let Brad know over at BradBlog.com. How's that?
Thank you. Well done.
Okay. All righty. Brad Friedman, BradBlog.com, the website, VelvetRevolution.us as well. 16 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. Thank you, Brad.
Purging voters from the rolls, 30 points down in the polls. Bye, bye, Blackwell. 2004 election fraud, now just between you and your God. Bye, bye, Blackwell.
Well, we can hope, you know.
Your protection order won't protect you. Joy, he's your wingnut poster boy, Blackwell. Bye-bye.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. 22 minutes past the hour, the biggest weapon of mass deception right now appears to be these crazed voting machines. Heads up, tonight on HBO, Thursday night on HBO at 9 o'clock, well, actually, check your local listings because it will vary from place to place wherever you are in the United States. It's 9 o'clock Eastern time. It's also showing up here on the West Coast at 9 o'clock Pacific time. But it, you know, if you've got satellite TV or whatever, I mean, check and find out. This is must-see TV. This is appointment TV, this new documentary, Hacking Democracy, that's going to be on HBO tonight. And we're going to be talking to one of the stars of it, Bev Harris, in just a few minutes, but just mind-boggling. The elections are already starting to melt down, and it reminds me of this thing with Congressman Peter King, just before the 2004 election, drunk as a skunk on election day, and Nancy Pelosi's daughter sticks a camera in his face and says, well, you know, Congressman, you know, what do you think now about the election? It looked like, you know, Kerry was going to win in a landslide, and he says, well, it's all over now, but the counting of the votes, and we'll take care of that. And apparently they did, and apparently they are again. And what are we going to do about it? Amazing. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. Steve in Grand Rapids, Michigan, WTKG, Clear Channel in Grand Rapids. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
I'm great, but I'll get better. What's up?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I love that Bye Bye Blackwell.
Yes.
That was excellent. Hey, nice. Listen, I've listened to you for a long time, and I've been a guy that would sit on my hands and not do anything and just complain. I've taken your advice. You've inspired me. You've been a catalyst. I am now running for the 74th State House in the state of Michigan. And
oh, that's great.
Thank you for that.
That's great. Steve, please give yourself an unabashed plug. If you have a website, you know, your name, how people can, you know, sign up for to help campaign for you, how they can vote for you. Let me just throw the mic open here for you for the next 30 seconds. Go for it.
All right. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it. You can contact me at www.StephenKaufman, that's Stephen with a V, Stephen Kaufman, 74th House, .com.
How do you spell Kaufman?
KAUFFMAN.
Okay.
And it's been very encouraging. As you know, Tom, you're from Michigan, and you've lived in, I believe, White Cloud. My district is Western Michigan, all the way up to 10 Mile Road, Comstock Park, Hudsonville, Jenison, Granville.
Oh, for about 20 years, I owned a little bit of land in White Cloud.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I know. That's I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
If I would say anything that...
And I used to pick apples in White Cloud when I was a kid.
I know. And part of my district is Peach Ridge and Fruit Ridge, and so you
uh-huh.
The ridge. So, but if
so I used to be a migrant farm worker in the district that you're running for the House of Representatives.
Is that right? Yeah.
That's great.
But if I was to say anything, Tom, about what's happening in my district, the 74th, walking the neighborhoods, the biggest thing here, obviously, is jobs. But the second biggest thing is change. All I hear is we need to have a change in the state Congress, and that's why I'm running. And I have to thank you for allowing me to have the nerve, I guess you'd say, for me to get up to the step up to the plate and represent we the people.
Well, it's marvelous that you're doing it. Once again, the website is
www.stevenkaufman74thhouse.com.
Okay, so it's Stevenkaufman 74house.com.
74th.
Oh, 74th house.
74thhouse.com. As you can see, I'm a rookie at this. I was told after we had published this that the website is supposed to be as short as possible so people can remember.
Well, if you can get StephenKaufman.com or SteveKaufman.com, I mean, usually those name ones are gone really fast, but if you can get something that's a little shorter, you can always point it to the exact same place. You can have multiple. I mean, I've got probably 20 different, you know, URLs. LiberalTalkRadio.com goes to TomHartman.com.
Yes, right.
So you can do multiple ones. But Steve, good on you. I congratulations. It's absolutely marvelous.
Thank you so much, Tom. 2 years ago, we met and talked at the cinema showcase.
When I was broadcasting live there on WTKG?
Yes, when you were broadcasting live, right. And I couldn't make it this year when you were here because guess what? I was out campaigning.
Well, that's great. Steve, you are you're the brave one. I mean, I got the easy thing, you know, sitting behind a microphone, getting out there, going door to door, knocking on doors, participating. That's wonderful. Steve, I wish you the very, very best in your campaign.
And I do. I owe a lot to you, Tom, and you keep up the good work, and I'm going to hang up now, and you know what I'm going to do?
What's that?
I'm going to go out and knock on doors.
Okay, Stephen Kaufman, 74thhouse.com.
That's correct. Thanks
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Tom, and keep up the good work.
You too. 27 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, Truth and Common Sense in Broadcasting for a Change in America. It does. Welcome back. Fair and slightly unbalanced. The Tom Hartman radio program, 34 minutes past the hour. Moving toward a bright and sparkling future by returning democracy to the USA. We may have to take out a few voting machines in order to do it, but here we are, and we're not going away. This democracy has been operating for the better part of 230 years, and it's not going away, even in the face of things like Congressman Peter King. Now, this was on Election Day 2004, the people are starting to go to the polls. They're having a party in New York. Congressman Peter King, guy who's always on CNN, you know, and whatnot, drunk as a skunk, Nancy Pelosi's daughter, I think her name is Alexandra, sticks a camera in his face and says, well, what do you think? And here's what Congressman Peter King had to say.
It's already over. The election's over. We won.
How do you know that?
It's all over with the counting. We'll take care of the counting.
It's already over. It's already over. We won. How do you know that? It's all over with the counting, and we'll take care of the counting. Yet, no, you didn't hear that wrong. This is Congressman Peter King as the vote was happening 2 years ago.
It's already over. The election's over. We won.
How do you know that?
It's all over with the counting. We'll take care of the counting.
Yep. And we'll take care of the county. And sure enough, they did. So, anyhow, that's a small problem, shall we say. 1-866-440-8466. We're trying to get a hold of Bev Harris. She's doing a lot of media right now to promote the Hacking Democracy movie that's going to be on HBO tonight. And so she's where Lauren is doing a marvelous job, as Lauren always does, and trying to track her down. So hopefully Bev will be with us shortly. Dean in Texas. Hey, Dean, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What's up?
Yeah, I noticed an irregularity last time I went to vote and that was after standing in line for 3 hours, I got in front of the official there. They looked my name up in the voting roll, found my name okay. Then they gave me a code to put in the machine, and they peeled a code from a roll of stickers, and there's two identical codes alongside each other, and they put one on my name, and I had to use the other one to punch into the machine to register my vote. So what I'm thinking is they're keeping a database of how you voted, and I was wondering if that's legal. And
oh,
as long as people are going to polls with the cameras and stuff, I'd like to document that.
Yeah, well, now this happened 2 years ago, last time you voted?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, this time when you vote, take a video camera with you.
Okay.
And, you know, let us know what happened.
Okay.
And I can tell you, in Texas, it is legal to take a video camera into a voting booth, as long as you don't video anybody else's voting or voting process, as long as you don't violate other people's privacy.
But vote is supposed to be private, right?
Your vote is private, but it's yours. And
right.
And so you can take that camera into that booth or, you know, up to that booth. And frankly, the way I'd do it is I'd just keep the camera in my pocket and wouldn't announce it or anything. And then when I get, after I've gone through the process, when I get up there to vote, then I'd pull it out and start videotaping it. And if anybody...
I'd like to show them stickers off the roll and sticking it over my name in the voter roll.
Okay, well, you can video. You can legally videotape all of that in Texas. They may try to stop you, but you can legally do it, and you may want to assert your rights. So,
if it is illegal, what about like a citizen's arrest?
Yeah, I don't know. It's over the next couple of days here, we're going to try and get a few more authorities and legal experts on these kinds of issues, Dean. Dean, we have Bev Harris on the line, so I'm going to run, but good luck.
Right,
thanks for the heads up. I
appreciate
it. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Bev Harris.
Hey, Tom, I was hearing that. Great advice you're giving. Great. I'm just so glad to hear it.
Yeah, show up with a video camera. Videothevote.org,
right.
Blackboxvoting.org. I mean, there's just, you didn't hear it, but I played Peter King's clip from 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And where Nancy Pelosi's daughter, on election day, as people were voting all over the country, he's drunk as a skunk at a Republican celebration party for the victory of George W. Bush. And he says, it's all over. We won. And she says, how do you know? And he says, well, he says, here's the clip.
The only thing we can do at this point.
Wow.
I have feedback.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The only thing we can do at this point is use the 2006 election to try to get the evidence. We need to try to correct things by 2008. I mean, for this election, whoever wins, it's illegitimate because the machines, the checks and balances just aren't there.
Right, and tragically, the Democrats will probably win, and the Republicans will be running around going, "Oh no, they didn't really win." And now, if you look at the Busby Bill Ray election, the Denny Hastert swore in Bill Ray into.
Yes.
Before the vote was even certified, and because the Constitution says that the House of Representatives can decide who its members are. And
this is an atrocity.
I know, and a state court, you know, this was appealed at a state court, and the state court judge said, well, I don't have jurisdiction. This is a federal matter.
Right.
It's bizarre. I mean, Denny Hastert literally has the authority to say who won an election and who he's going to swear into the House of Representatives, regardless of what the people say. And so if they can claim that, well, these Democrats, they voted on these machines, and they figured out how to hack the machines this year, and therefore they didn't really win. I mean, it could get really weird in next week.
It really could. And I think, you know, even if it goes relatively smoothly on election day, when really things get strange is in the next 10 days when you start comparing the records and find out they don't match.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what happened down in Florida when you went down to find out what happened with the 2004 election.
Right, right. Some of that is actually shown on the HBO documentary, which airs tonight, and then also it's called Hacking Democracy, and then also on the November 5th and November 7th. And it's really important to see because we can talk about it till we're blue in the face, but that's why these video cameras are so important.
Yeah, because, well, like you mentioned, you and I talked a little earlier this morning, and you said, you know, think of what would have happened to Rodney King if nobody had,
right.
had videotaped it. And what would have happened is, you know, nothing. He would have ended up in jail, bruised and bleeding, and he'd be, you know, nothing. I mean, and as a result of that videotape. So you videotaped a whole bunch of stuff. A lot of other people videotaped things. A couple of filmmakers from England came over and decided that they were going to find out what's this Bev Harris lady up to. And as a result of that, tonight at 9 o'clock, o'clock on HBO, Hacking Democracy is the name of the documentary. You must watch it. This is Make an Appointment TV. And if you don't have the ability to record this program, I hope I'm not giving illegal advice here and getting in trouble with copyright people, but have somebody make a recording of it, because you're going to want to watch it again in the future.
So. And there are some public locations, bars and so forth, that do have HBO. We're finding that out. Some people are having parties at a bar and watching it. And do watch your local listings, because in some parts of the country or some cable systems, it might be at a different time than 9, but that's where it is, certainly on the East and West Coast.
Yeah,
you know,
and people who have satellites, satellite service, as you go farther to the West, it may show up earlier and earlier, because sometimes the satellites, you know, it's 9 p.m. Eastern time, period, so it would be 6 p.m. On the West Coast, for example.
Yeah, and one of the things you see in the film that I think is so wonderful is the citizens are out there getting the video and making the case. There's at least, I don't know the number, but there's a lot of different video that's taken by a lot of different citizens that shows up in this film.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a testimony to how this country can work if people get out of their chairs and go engage with their democracy.
Yep. Bev Harris, let's take a couple calls on this issue, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Donna in Seattle, you're live with Bev Harris. Donna?
Hey, yes. Hi, Bev. Thanks for having me. I have a question. Why can't we just insist on a paper ballot or voting provisional instead of using the electronic machine?
Well, there's a voting provisional means your vote won't be counted for about 10 days if it gets counted, and that by then everybody concedes. It's really upsetting. And also the paper ballot is actually what the system that we hacked in the Hacking Democracy documentary. The problem with the paper ballot is there's very few situations when we can actually look at it.
So you hacked the optical scan readers?
Yes.
Yeah. So even having a paper ballot isn't good enough. It has to be a paper ballot that's counted by hand.
And that citizens can see what the heck is going on with it. You know, in San Diego, something very interesting happened. Some citizens said, let's buy the right. They have this right in California. Let's buy the right to look at the paper ballots. They chose 11 precincts in San Diego. It has over 500 precincts. And they were hit with a bill of $8,000 to count just 11 precincts.
Wow.
In fact, to count the whole county of San Diego, which is just one county, citizens would have to fork out about $600,000, which means in practical terms, you can't look at it.
Yeah, this is absolutely wrong. Mike in Elk City, Oklahoma, you're live with Bev Harris.
Hi, I just got a question. Is there any type of legal action that we can take?
Well, there is a wonderful group called VoterAction.org that is very deserving of support and visiting the site. And they have legal actions going in several states now, but it's a tough road to hoe. And, of course, Bobby Kennedy Jr. has a false claim suit, a fraud suit, basically, against the voting machine vendors. And that will be very interesting to see how that pans out. But remember, legal action can take years. And we may not have years to solve these problems. So we have to take every action that we can on every front.
And just to recap, we have to take a break here in about 20, 30 seconds. So Bev Harris, tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern time, actually HBO.com, if you just go to HBO's main website, they're splashing this thing tonight, this documentary, Hacking Democracy. Hacking Democracy, that you're the star of, essentially. Anything to add to
that? Well, I think the citizens are the star. What it really makes, it makes the point that one person can make a difference and that ordinary citizens can make things happen.
There you go. Bev Harris, blackboxvoting.org, the website, blackboxvoting.org. Check it out. And tonight, the documentary. Bev, thanks so much. Great having you with us.
Thank you.
We're going to do our progressive pop quiz right now. Our question for the day, what's the name of the HBO documentary on voting machines that premieres tonight? Sixth caller with the correct answer at 1-866-440-8466 gets an autographed copy of Scrode, 45 minutes past the hour.
I like to drink clean water. I like to breathe clean air. I think that we should protect this precious earth we share. I care about the animals and the fishes in the sea. Clearly there is something wrong with me. I'm a liberal.
He's a liberal.
I'm a liberal.
Unforgivable.
I'm a liberal.
He's a liberal.
I'm a liberal.
He's your typical liberal.
Indeed, and welcome back. Your typical liberal here, Tom Hartman. It's 9.5 minutes before the hour. And we have a winner in our progressive pop quiz. Our question for the day, what's the name of the HBO documentary on voting machines that premieres tonight? And the sixth caller with the correct answer was Scott Carrier. I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name. Our friends at Air America. Andrew, do you know? Oh, Carrier. Yeah, okay, like aircraft carrier. Okay. And Springfield, Illinois was the sixth caller. Congratulations, Scott. Well done. Scott knew that the answer is hacking democracy. And thank you very much for that. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. Dan in Virginia. Hey, Dan, what's on your mind today?
Yes, I wanted to add a little comment about what people are seeing when you register a vote and the other candidate comes up. Often the candidate will repeatedly come up. And I asked Ari Rubin once after one of the forums, I said, how do you know that the machine actually registers the correct, say, the fourth vote when your candidate finally comes up as this is who you voted for? And he said, you don't know.
Right.
And this has been going on for some time, and I found it very, for several elections, I mean.
Yeah.
And I think that what they're doing is, and Catherine Harris, in an interview, she didn't seem to mind that she was that far down. She said, well, in one election, we were down 5 points, and we ended up winning by five. And then in another election, so I think that there's a few things going on, though, and it's hard to get attention to this, and thank you for bringing it up. But what we have with the long, with lines at the polls, I consider it disenfranchisement.
Sure.
And then when we have this going on, it's more of a...
Well, it's a whole bunch of stuff, and you add it up. I mean, if you can steal 1% of the vote by hacking a small number of machines, you know, enough that a few people are going to complain, but it's not going to turn into a national story. You got 1%. You steal 1% of the vote by knocking people off the voting rolls. That's another 1%. You steal 1% of the vote by misallocation of machines. So you've got lines that are 6, 8, 10 hours long. Now we're up to 3%. You steal another percent of the vote by moving around gerrymandering districts and things like that, or moving even the precincts where people are supposed to vote. And all these little and then there's the other trick that the Republicans have been doing for 6 years now, where they go out and they say, would you like to register to vote? And people say, oh, yeah, sure. I'd like, particularly young people. Yes, I'd love to register to vote. And if you don't check the box to register as a Republican, then after you think you've registered, you've filled out the form, they tear it up and throw it away because they're only paid to register Republicans. And so you get people who show up thinking that they're going to vote, thinking that they're registered to vote, and they're given a provisional ballot, which is a placebo ballot, and because their name's not on the roll. But they voted the provisional ballot, so they think they actually voted, but in fact they didn't. And, you know, at least a million provisional ballots in the last election were thrown away and never counted. And so, I mean, you add all these things together, and the voter purges and it adds up to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7%, and you know, in different races and different districts and different states, it's enough to cause Republicans, even when they represent a minority viewpoint, and on top of that, they have an incredible get out the vote machine for single issue voters, anti-abortion issue voters, for example, or homophobic voters, of getting those folks out to the polls. You add all that together, and it's a recipe for electoral victory.
Right, and it's a recipe. It's a pretty good recipe for them when only your supporters' votes count.
Yeah, but it's got nothing to do with democracy, tragically. It has nothing to do with playing fair. It's got nothing to do with honoring the traditions of this country. Dan, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Ellen in the Bay Area. Hey, Ellen, what's up?
Hi, yes. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I was telling your screener as I called, as I looked online for your telephone number, I discovered you'd had a visit with the Pope.
About 6-7 years ago, Pope John Paul II, yes.
Right. Well, I'm from the other Portland.
Uh-huh.
And live in the Bay Area. And I wanted to comment on yesterday's...
Are you talking about Portland, Maine?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great.
As we learn in school, which came first?
Yes, yes. Portland, Oregon was actually named after Portland, Maine.
You had to flip a coin.
Right. But I thought the coin flip was to name it after Portland, Maine, or to name it after some guy's family or a beaver or something.
No, it was either heads, Portland, tails, Boston.
Ah, yeah, okay.
I called about two reasons, but the primary one was about this Christian Christian Coalition, what was his name, who called in yesterday, who you had a segment on, running around?
I don't have it in front of me, but he's an African-American Bishop
right.
Perry Jackson, David says.
And
we just have a minute left before we have
to wrap
up the show.
I just wanted to say real quick that, you know, as a Jew, I found it very offensive, not you, but him, because he wasn't there to promote anything but Christianity, as if to say, even though it's true that we live in a Christian nation, that we...
Well, we don't live in a Christian nation. We just live in a nation that's majority Christian.
In fact, we don't live in a Christian nation, and that the Old Testament has a lot to say about things that were not mentioned.
Yeah, and has a lot to say about things that maybe we should reconsider, like jubilees, and every 7 years, giving the earth a rest, and every 49, every 50 years, equalizing wealth. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff that has to do with building community in the Old Testament. Alan, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. 56 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. Coming up on the other side of the news break here, Michael Weinstein is going to be with us. He's the author of a book, With God on Our Side. This is the story of, and he calls it an evangelical coup in the American military. He says that Christian evangelists have literally taken over chunks of the American military and turned them into recruiting stations for this particular sect within Christianity. And he's very concerned about it. And I think we all should be. So we'll be back with that in a few minutes right here on The Pill. It will help you escape the matrix, the Tom Hartman program.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information. Rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back for your minimum daily adult requirement of sanity. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. Is it possible that the U.S. military could be hijacked, that a branch of the armed forces could be hijacked by a religious cult, which would then turn it into a recruiting instrument, a recruiting tool, essentially, for their own particular, religious cult? Well, according to Michael Weinstein, Weinstein and David Say, the authors of a new book, With God on Our Side, One Man's War Against an Evangelical Coup in America's Military, the answer is yes. Is it Mikey Weinstein?
It is.
Hey, Mikey, welcome to the program. And a remarkable piece of literature here. You've got Joe Wilson and a bunch of other people praising it on the back of the book. Let's start at the beginning. One man's war against an evangelical coup in America's military. That one man is?
It's me.
And you got into this how?
Well, my family is, I have three consecutive generations of military academy graduates in my family, including myself. My immediate family has over 115 years of combined active duty military service in every combat engagement, Tom, that our families, our country's been in from World War I to the current so-called global war on terror. And
in fact, you are also a retired JAG officer. You were an attorney in the military.
Yes, I was also a lawyer for 3.5 years in the West Wing of the Reagan White House, and was also general counsel to Texas billionaire and two-time presidential candidate Ross Perot. So, mm-hmm. I'm a registered Republican. I know the religious right would like to try to cast me as a tree-hugging Northern California Sierra Club membership Chardonnay-sipping liberal. Not that there'd be anything wrong with that, but
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right, and I'm telling people that. My children were at the Air Force Academy. I had three of them there at the time. My youngest is now a senior or first classman there, and he's the sixth member of my family to attend the Air Force Academy. And when Mel Gibson's movie first came out in February of 2004, I'm sure you remember it. It was the one called The Jesus
Right.
Chainsaw Murders or Freddy versus Jesus.
Right.
When I saw how the Academy was pushing that movie institutionally upon all of the staff, the cadets, the staff, I began to investigate. I looked there. It was this unconstitutional evangelizing was not just at the Academy, it was throughout the entire U.S. Air Force, Tom. And then as I looked beyond that, it was, you know, throughout the U.S. Marine Corps, Navy, and Army. And we're fighting it. We're fighting it every way we can. I've formed a new foundation called the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, which can be found at militaryreligiousfreedom.org. And we're in court battles now, and we will litigate and educate wherever we can to stop this fundamentalist Christian attempt to take over the technologically most lethal organization, you know, ever created by humankind, which is our honorable and noble U.S. military.
Right. Michael Weinstein, I'm curious how this all started. I mean, the military has a long and noble tradition, I mean, literally going back to the Whiskey Rebellion, of not taking sides, of not, of being... That was more, you know, independent militias or state militias at the time, you know, when Washington put down the Whiskey Rebellion. But the point
right.
is that the military has always taken the position of we are the ones who enforce, who protect the nation. We answer to the civilian leadership in Washington, D.C., and who answers to the people. And we have no agenda other than protecting this nation. When did the U.S. military begin to acquire as a secondary agenda, and I think in your book you argue that in many cases actually a primary agenda, becoming an instrument of Christian evangelism as well?
It looks like it began in the early 70s, late 70s to early 80s, and it has clearly been going on for a long time. It was strengthened during the time that Clinton was president because there was an estrangement between the Department of Defense and Clinton. But after 9/11 and with this man in the White House, Bush, it just went on steroids. And look, it's as bad as it, for your listeners out there, it's shocking to know for all Air America listeners, on Tuesday, July 12th last year, on the front page of the newspaper that is most reviled by the Pentagon, and Tom, you know that would be the New York Times, the number two ranking general among all the 2,200 generals and that are all the 2,200 chaplains in the U.S. Air Force, Brigadier General Cecil R. Richardson, made the astonishing statement that it was official Air Force policy to reserve its right to evangelize anyone it determined to be unchurched. Exactly what those definitions mean, or the verbs or adverbs in that thing, are astonishing. But my wife and I raised our hands and said, "Hey, we have three kids in the U.S. Air Force. One is Christian. Two are Jewish. Do our kids fall on this Richard Nixon era enemies list of being unchurched? And if so, is the Air Force going to? You know, we demand to know. Are they going to exercise their reserved right to evangelize them? It's just unbelievable. For 88 days, I waited for them to take it back, and then finally, I sued them. And the key thing for your listeners this morning, Tom, are just to try to remember at least two numbers. The number 702 and the number 132, because we have 702 U.S. military installations now that are scattered around the globe in 132 countries. And on every one of them now, we have something called an Officers Christian Fellowship for the officers and a Christian Military Fellowship for the enlisted troops. And their goal is unabashed. They have a three-part goal, which is superior to any goals with regard to supporting and defending the Constitution. The first goal is to see a spiritually transformed U.S. military. Number two, with ambassadors for Christ in uniform. And then lastly, Tom, number three, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that's not just a problem. I consider it to be a national security threat, every bit as serious as that posed by Al-Qaeda.
Now, Mikey, right. Yeah, if this had been a general who was a chaplain who was saying, "I reserve to myself the right to evangelize anybody," and if these Christian fellowships in the military were sort of like the chess club, you know, optional, you can join this thing and we're providing some space for it. I'm assuming that you wouldn't have quite the problem with it, or am I wrong?
I have no concern about any. I hope everybody gloriously, and you raise a great point, and comprehensively celebrates their religious faith, Tom, whatever that is. You know, but you can't do it, you know, when you're using the draconian specter of command influence. Look, in today's military, we have regulations in writing that state that military superiors up and down the chain of command cannot push Amway or Mary Kay Cosmetics or Tupperware. You know, the military is a very different place than the regular society. Sex with someone other than your spouse, adultery, is still prosecuted as a felony. I've prosecuted and defended those cases. If your superior in the military, Tom, tells you to go to the base installation dentist at 4 p.m. and you don't go, it's still a felony. And, you know, look, if you're a shift manager at Starbucks or you're a manager at Walgreens, you cannot push your religious faith on a subordinate or employee, that's a violation of Title VII of the U.S. Code. But in the U.S. military, when you face this, again, draconian specter of command influence, when someone superior to you in the chain of command, even gently, on the job, during the workday or work night, tries to evangelize you with their particular biblical worldview of the gospel of Jesus Christ, get out of my face, sir or ma'am, is not an option for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it literally is not. And there's a secondary problem here, at least. Let me toss this out and get your take on it. It seems to me that there's a huge secondary problem here, and that is that if the military becomes, or if it has become, an instrument of Christianity, an overt instrument of Christianity, then the Muslim world's perception of our occupying military as the crusader Christian force, which is how Al-Qaeda is portraying us, actually has some legitimacy and that, you know, some accuracy, and which can't be good for the United States.
Tom, let me ask you to put your Tom Hartman seatbelt on, because you have no idea what you just said about how correct you are. We're preparing to take a look at litigating against the 523rd Attack F-16 Squadron, which is located at Cannon Air Force Base in my home state of New Mexico in Clovis. They're called the 523rd Crusaders. On their official squadron patch is a giant crucifix and a broadsword from a crusader's broadsword from the 12th or 13th century, and a crusader's helmet surrounded by three yellow stars, also in the shape of a crucifix. Now you tell me what the followers of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, I know he's dead, but his followers are there, Ayman al-Zawahiri, Osama bin Laden, Mullah Muhammad Omar, the remnants of the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, the jihadists, the insurrectionists, I mean, Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah of Hezbollah, or you can look at Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, or that crazy guy who's the head of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. What do you think they think when they already see us, as you correctly stated seconds ago, as invading American imperialists and crusaders, when the U.S. Air Force says it's our policy that we'll reserve our right to evangelize anyone we determine to be unchurched, and here's our attack F-16 squadron called the Crusaders, notice on the patch the giant crucifix.
Hmm. And how long has this been the case? We just have a few seconds left. I'm sorry, but how long has this been the case? Is this a recent thing?
No, it looks like it's been going on for about 20 years, but it's really...
I mean, these guys being called the Crusaders.
Oh, that's been around for a number of years.
So it's not... It might be... Well, yeah.
We got to change with the times, bro.
I agree. Yeah, I was going to say, it's sort of like, the football teams
absolutely
now are changing from Native America, with the Redskins kind of thing.
Perfect.
Amazing. Mikey Weinstein, the book is With God on Our Side, One Man's War Against an Evangelical Coup in America's Military. The website, militaryreligiousfreedom.org. Mikey, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
16 minutes past the hour.
I'm not going to shut my mouth. I'm for the truth to come out about the leader with the iron will and his allegiance to the dollar bill.
You tell him, Jackson Brown. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Listener-supported radio, supported by you, supporting our sponsors, Small Dog Electronics. Get the latest iPods now and all things Macintosh. 1-800-511-MAX or smalldog.com. And Sacred Grounds Coffee, saving the planet one cup at a time, all organic, all fair trade, and some just extraordinary coffees, including unroasted coffees for the home roasters among you. SacredGroundsCoffee.com, the website. You plug in fall in the coupon box and you get a 15% discount when you check out. Or you can give them a call at 1-800-425-2532. 1-800-425-2532. The Votemaster is with us. Andy Tannenbaum, electoral-vote.com. My favorite website for figuring out where election races are going. Andy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you here with us. Electoral-vote.com. First of all, what's the methodology that you use to put this website together that has this great interactive map where you can just immediately see where all the races are at?
You mean in terms of the software?
No, in terms of where you get the information.
Well, there's a lot of there the number of polling companies is relatively limited. There's you know, SurveyUSA and Rasmussen and so on, and most of those companies have websites. Sometimes for paid subscribers only, where they post all of their polls. And I read all of those sites every day, and I collect the information and type it in a certain format, and then the software which makes the map and the other parts of the system.
Uh-huh. So it's
the state polls that I'm interested in, not the national polls.
Yeah. So one of the comments that Karl Rove made the other day that caused a lot of people to scratch their heads was he said, "I'm looking at different polls than you are." When somebody said, "What looks to us like the Democrats are going to take the House at the very least," he said, "No, I don't think so." He said, "I'm looking at different polls than you are." What was he talking about?
Literally, that's true. I mean, the Republican Party finances a large number of polls for the use of the Republican Party, as do the Democrats. And I'm sure he's polling every interesting congressional district and every Senate race, practically every week, if not more often. And he has access to all those polls. But there's no reason to believe that those polls have different results than the public polls from Rasmussen or SurveyUSA. He's simply looking at different polls that they don't generally release.
Yeah. I've noticed in the last couple of days that on, because I check this thing every day, electoral-vote.com, that 3 or 4 days ago, Virginia was weakly or barely GOP. It had a pink outline around it, and now it's barely Democratic. It looks like the polls are predicting that Jim Webb may win Virginia.
Well, the ones that have an outline but are white in the middle means it's within the margin of error. So, if somebody's ahead 47 to 48, then it'll be either, a pink border or a blue border.
Right.
But you shouldn't count on that because, the margin of error on these things is 3 or 4%.
Right.
And
so
another factor is the turnout, of course, that people who take part in the poll don't necessarily vote.
Right, right. And that's always the wild card. So right now it looks like the real toss-up states are, New Jersey, Virginia, Tennessee, and Montana.
Yeah, I think that Montana, I don't think so. That it's been so consistent Democratic by a small margin over so long that it would take a miracle to save Conrad Burns now. SurveyUSA released a poll of the popularity of all 100 senators, and I think that Conrad Burns was 98th.
Yeah, he's the guy. Isn't Conrad Burns the guy that Jack Abramoff has been recently quoted as saying he basically owned him?
Yeah, that Burns and Abramoff are our buddy buddies. I don't think Montana is much of a problem. New Jersey, the last few polls have showed that Menendez seems to be pulling away. So I think the toss-up states are probably Missouri, Tennessee, and Virginia. There's been a lot of racist ads running in Tennessee the last week or so, and who knows what effect that's going to have.
Oh, yeah, Missouri is totally white. That's exactly tied.
Right. It's exactly tied. It's very, very close. In Missouri, an interesting thing is there's a ballot initiative, which is a wedge issue by the Democrats this time. The the ballot initiative says Missouri should be allowed to do stem cell research, and Washington University in St. Louis is an extremely good medical research center, and if it's allowed in Missouri, then Washington University will become a major center of stem cell research, will bring many high-paying jobs into Missouri. And Claire McCaskill is for the initiative, and Jim Talent is against the initiative. And it seems to be a strong correlation between people who are in favor of the initiative, they're also in favor of Claire McCaskill, people who are opposed to the initiative are in favor of Jim Talent. So that initiative may have a big effect on bringing people to the polls.
Interesting. Interesting. We're talking with the Vote Master, Andy Tannenbaum, his website, electoral-vote.com. Andy, we just have 30 seconds before we have to wrap this up. How do you think this thing is going to shake out, House and Senate?
I think that the Democrats are going to win a fairly large victory in the House, perhaps 30 seats even. The Senate, it's all coming down to the turnout in those three states, Missouri, Tennessee, and Virginia. I don't think anybody can predict it now. It's just too close.
Yeah, but they're playing the race card hard in Tennessee.
Right.
And on the other hand,
but Virginia, Allen has made so many mistakes in Virginia that it's sort of working against them. In Missouri, this initiative thing could have a big role. So those are the three states to watch, Missouri, Tennessee, and Virginia.
Very interesting with regard to the Senate. Andy Tannenbaum, thanks for a great website that you're running here.
Thank you very much.
Electoral-vote.com. It's not all cluttered up with all kinds of junk. It's so clean, so easy to use, and so accurate. One of the folks here has just been following this thing for years and turned us on to it. 27 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's the True People's Radio, the Tom Hartman Radio Program. 34 minutes past the hour, 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number, tomhartman.com, our live chat room if you want to drop in and say hi, and our message board area, and you'll find all the archives of the program. The White Rose Society, .org archives are over there, as well as the Michael Toth's archives, topic by topic, going back over about 3 years or so, all sorts of stuff. The front page of the New York Times, you can see in the online version, nytimes.com, Iranian military fires slew of missiles. And this has got a lot of folks just a little bit concerned. Here we have the Iran fired, the Christine Hauser reporting, Iran fired several missiles with a range of more than 1,000 miles today during a military maneuver that started just days after the United States and several allies, including Persian Gulf states, held exercises in the same area. Iranian news outlets reported that dozens of missiles were fired, including the Shahab-3, which has a range of about 1,000 miles and is capable of carrying cluster warheads, and the shorter-range Shahab-2. The Iranian news agency ISNA posted photographs of what it said were the missiles, showing billowy smoke as they were launched in the so-called Great Prophet exercises, including air, naval, and ground forces. The agency quoted a senior official saying that the launches were not linked to any developments in the nuclear issue, but it did say that the launches showed that Iran had reached an international level of achievement in its ballistic missile program. So this is... I'm curious how or if the coverage of this is going to affect the U.S. domestic elections. I mean, here we are just a few days from an election, and in many places, an election already happening. I mean, people are early voting in a lot of states right now. And you wonder, you know, that Bush has so badly screwed up Iraq, for example, and so badly screwed up our relationship with Russia, and, you know, we were at the very beginning there, you know, actually starting to demilitarize, to reduce our nuclear stockpiles. They were reducing theirs. We were helping them get nuclear weapons and nuclear materials out of the former Soviet states, particularly, Georgia and some of the Stan countries. And Bush just kind of pulled the plug on it. And it's got a lot of people very concerned. So my take is that Iran's saber rattling may actually cause more people to say, you know, do we really want these warmonger Republicans, these Republicans who are willing to start a war just to score political points, just to gain political power, just to get what George W. Bush refers to as political capital? Do we really want these Republicans to be running this country any longer? You'll recall Mickey Herskowitz, the old family friend of the Bush family, who was hired by George Sr. and Barbara to write George W.'s autobiography for him, A Charge to Keep, which is now in the bookstores. Mickey spent months interviewing Jr. W. and later commented to a reporter who reported it that Bush was planning on invading Iraq back in 1999 when he was doing the interviews. I mean, here's Cindy Sheehan testifying before John Conyers Commission about this very issue.
As a matter of fact, in interviews in 1999 with respected journalist and longtime Bush family friend Mickey Herskowitz, then Governor George Bush stated, "One of the keys to being seen as a great leader is to be seen as commander-in-chief. My father had all this political capital built up when he drove the Iraqis out of Kuwait, and he wasted it. If I have a chance to invade, if I had that much capital, I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to get everything passed that I want to get passed, and I'm going to have a successful presidency," end quote.
Now, that's a verbatim quote from George W. Bush in 1999, that he's going to invade Iraq for political purposes. For political purposes. And after the Downing Street minutes and memos after the meetings in July and in June, July, and August with the British, where they were told in 2002, yes, after the elections, we are going to invade Iraq. And after the troops were being moved in, you know, and positioned all around, everything was getting ready for the invasion. It was obvious it was happening. Bush was asked, you know, hey, you know, it sure looks like you're getting ready to invade Iraq.
You said we're headed to war in Iraq. I don't know why you say that. I hope we're not headed to war in Iraq. I'm the person who gets to decide, not you.
Yeah, and just, you know, I'm the decider, don't you know? And of course, then after the invasion, he, as you'll recall, there were the weapons inspectors, Hans Blix with the United Nations, with the IAEA. The IAEA was Mohammed El-Baradei, the International Atomic Energy, Agency, I believe it is. And Hans Blix looking for chemical and biological and conventional weapons. You had these two large inspection teams from the United Nations in Iraq continuously up until the day that George W. Bush declared that he was going to attack Iraq, or up until just a few days before that, Bush pulled them out. As he was making his announcement to the Iraqi people that he was going to invade Iraq, I mean, a lot of us expected him to say, you know, just lay down your arms. We're the strongest army in the world. We're going to eat your lunch. You know, just lay down your arms. We won't kill very many people. Instead, he looks into the camera. He says, now I want to speak to the Iraqi people.
Your fate will depend on your actions. Do not destroy oil wells.
And all over Iraq, all over the Middle East, all over the world, people are going, whoa. And then after the invasion, Bush pulls out the inspectors because he's going to invade. He's going to bomb the country. He pulls out the inspectors. Or he demands that the UN pull out the inspectors because he says he's going to attack. And then after the invasion, he says this.
The larger point is, and the fundamental question is, does Saddam Hussein have a weapons program? And the answer is absolutely. And we gave him a chance to allow the inspectors in, and he wouldn't let them in. And therefore, after a reasonable request, we decided to remove him from power along with other nations so as to make sure he was not a threat to the United States.
Now, Hans Blix had some rather explicit comments about that.
I'm not ever suggested that they were sort of willfully and consciously lying, but I think that they wanted to jump to conclusions. I said in the Security Council that if something is unaccounted for, it doesn't necessarily mean that they exist. And I think there was that tendency to jump to that conclusion. We were there for 3.5 months, after all, and we did not find any smoking gun. And now that the U.S. has been, the U.K. had been there for quite some time, and they have the opportunity to interrogate people, and they have had the whole cream of the Iraqi establishment in custody, and people should not be scared any longer to answer in the interviews. With this long period, I'm inclined to think that the Iraqi statement that they destroyed all the biological and chemical weapons which they had in the summer of 1991 may well be the truth.
So, but our president continues to lie about this and about why we went into this war and about how it's going. And he's got this whole chorus of Republicans along with him right there, including Peter King, who I was just looking at the voting website that we were talking about in the last segment. And Peter King's race in New York is a toss-up race. Peter King, the guy who said,
it's already over. The election's over. We won.
How do you know that?
It's all over but the county. We'll take care of the county.
Yeah, it's all over but the county, and we'll take care of the county. Well, maybe. We'll see. Ann in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening to WPTT. Hey, Ann, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Yes, I wanted to know, why can't we call on the UN to come in here and seize the voting machines before the election, because we know we're going into another rigged election?
Because we the people don't represent the United States, our government does, and the government would have to do that.
Well, why can't Jimmy Carter call in the UN?
Because he has no legal authority.
Yeah, but they go into other countries. We have to call on somebody from the outside. They monitor all the other countries that have rigged elections.
Typically, that's the result of a vote in the Security Council or in the United Nations itself to decide to go in and to advance democracy. It's not going to happen, and tragically, it's not going to happen. That's why you need to go to videothevote.org. and register and take a video camera with you to the polls if you have any concerns about it. And that's why we, the citizens, have to be monitoring this election, because the UN isn't going to come to the, you know, riding to our rescue, because our government is going to prevent that from happening. So.
But I don't understand why we can't call. We have to call in outside help because we're stuck.
We have to help ourselves.
We haven't had a legal election here since before 2000. Because
I agree.
The Constitution states that no court shall ever decide an election.
Yes.
And what happened in 2000?
Yes.
You know.
No. And in fact, in November of 2001, November 12, 2001, the New York Times published the results of the actual count, where they actually, the newspaper consortium actually counted the ballots in Florida, and they actually found that Al Gore won Florida. So
yeah,
yes,
so
the Supreme Court did decide that election.
Never legally been president of this country.
That's right. It has been illegal for 6 years. It has been stolen for 6 years. But we can't turn to the UN because they won't recognize you and me. They recognize the Bush administration. So we have to do it ourselves. And that's why it's so important to go to places like videothevote.org, velvetrevolution.us, and electionprotection.org, and get active on that. 45 minutes past the hour.
To decide that the things that I tried were in my life is to get high on. When I sit alone, come get a little known, but I need more than myself this time. Step from the road to the sea to the sky, and I do believe that we rely on. When I lay it on, come get to play it on, all my life to sacrifice. Hey, yo, listen what I say, oh. I got
to and welcome back. Coming up on 9 minutes before the hour, the Tom Hartman radio program, the place where we run rings around the right wing 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. And Issaquah, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, school district bus driver fired for flipping off President Bush while on the clock, claims she was wrongfully terminated. This from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. She's filed a grievance. The union has filed a grievance on her behalf. Apparently, Congressman Dave Reichert was traveling with Bush in a fundraiser. The motorcade passed the school bus, and this bus teacher, you know, flipped Bush the bird, and so the congressman turned her in, and bang, she got fired. Very strange. Ellen Radner with the Talk Radio News Service on the line with us from Washington, D.C., talkradionews.com. Hey, Ellen.
Hey, well, a couple of interesting things. First of all, productivity has stalled in the third quarter. Why am I not surprised?
Yeah.
That is, of course, interesting news. Now, Senator Kerry has been asked to apologize by Tony Snow on camera. Whatever you think of what Kerry did, he blatantly sent out a fundraiser today to everybody, a participation letter to all of his, you know, friends of John Kerry list. And, I mean, whatever you think of what he did, he's just got bad timing.
Yeah. Yeah, and now Tony Snow is saying this written apology isn't good enough for us. We want it on camera.
No, we want it on camera. You know why they want it on camera? So they can use it in the next election.
Well, and for the next news cycle. I mean, both.
Of course, and to use it on the, please. They're shameless. And speaking of shameless, you know, as you and I have been very closely following this Ellen Simon election in Arizona 1.
Yes. Ellen Simon for Congress.com.
That's right. It's interesting. Rick Renzi, I mean, this is just an example. I mean, I think we should just take it as a microcosm of examples of their tactics. Rick Renzi did not show up for any of the previous debates, I think 8 or 9 of them. So today he's claiming he's going to show up for a debate. It's, you know, deep in his sort of area of territory, the reddest part of the district. And it's a 4-hour drive from Ellen Simon's headquarters each way. So, you know, it takes her out of campaigning for one day. And this is the kind of thing that is, you know, they're doing. It's just slimy tactics.
Yeah.
Now, in Virginia...
Well, it's the only way they can win, you know, Ellen, because they don't have an agenda that the American people agree with.
Well, I don't know if you've seen some recent polling. I'm sure you have. You keep up with this. But what's fascinating is that you have Americans who say that the president has essentially changed the language that he's using about the war in Iraq, but not his policy. So that means they can't even fool the vast majority of the Americans who don't really, you know, follow this as closely as you and I do.
Right. Yeah, it's the old Lincoln thing. You know, you can fool some of the people, et cetera. He's going to try one more time to fool enough of the people that they can pull off another electoral victory.
Now, Mrs. Bush is on her way, I believe tomorrow, actually. She's going to be in the Heather Wilson district in Arizona. New Mexico, around Albuquerque area. Now, that Heather Wilson had gotten herself a campaign gift of $3 million. Democrats did not make up that kind of money. Democrats so far is up in the polls, and you know, there's Heather Wilson sort of in the wind with Mrs. Bush coming out there for her, because if President Bush comes out there for her, it's not going to be a pretty picture.
Yeah. Are you hearing anything in the Washington press corps about all these reports that I'm hearing here? And this isn't just from the blogosphere. This is, you know, like in fact, I've got a clip from a TV station, KFDM in Beaumont, Texas, about voting machines flipping.
About what flipping?
Well, here, just listen to the first little bit of this clip.
Okay.
This is from KFDM, CBS TV station.
And continues to get complaints from Jefferson County voters who say the electronic voting machines are not registering their votes correctly. Last night, we told you about people who had cast straight Democratic ticket ballots, but the text screen machines indicated they had voted a straight Republican ticket. Some of those voters, including Lamar University professor Dr. Bruce Drury, believe the problem is a programming error. Today we spoke to another voter who says it's not just happening with straight ticket voting. He says it's happening on individual races as well. Jerry Stouffer told us when he voted for a Democrat, the Republican's name was highlighted.
We've got now hundreds of reports of this in half a dozen states, and none of them are flipping for Republicans. They're all flipping for Democrats. They're all flipping
course.
For Republicans.
I mean, anybody who doesn't believe that the Republicans are going to try and steal this election, if they haven't already stolen it, is living in a different era.
Yeah.
Is
the press corps going to deal with this? I mean, you had Peter King 2 years ago.
The problem is, very honestly, that the press corps is really not where it can happen, because the people in Washington press corps have very little to do with actual districts. It has got to be the local press, the local parties in the local districts, because honestly, somebody sitting in the White House who's traveling with the president, covering them or covering Congress, has not a clue what is happening in local districts across the United States.
Right. And
it's got to be local press, local party members, and local poll watchers.
Yeah, and therefore it's not filtering up to, you know, to the main news anchors on the main networks.
That's right.
Yeah, interesting. Ellen Ratner, TalkRadioNews.com, Talk Radio News Service in Washington, D.C. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Remarkable. Well, we'll see if Peter King can pull another one out of the hat.
It's already over. The election's over. We won.
How do you know that?
It's all over with the county. We'll take care of the county.
Yeah, are they going to take care of the county again? We'll find out. We'll be back with your calls and Harvey Wasserman, Free Press editor and Superpower of Peace columnist, right after this.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information. Rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. The place where progressives fiendishly plot for total world domination. Well, actually, we fiendishly plot for clean elections. You know, I mean, we really would just be happy with clean elections because our positions are where most of America's at, and we'd always win elections. But there's this thing out there. There's this force out there. There's this group of people out there who have been, seduced?
You don't know the power of the dark side.
No, Dick Cheney, go, you know. Anyway, Harvey Wasserman is with us. He's the senior editor of the Free Press, freepress.org, a superpower peace columnist. HarveyWasserman.com, his website. Harvey, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, great to be with you, Tom.
Great to have you. I understand we're also speaking in front of your class.
Right. Well, most of my class is gone. I have six diehards here from my Western Civ class. We were just about to jump into the origins of the Nazi Party in Germany, and I thought it would be fitting to talk about the upcoming election in that context.
Indeed. Indeed. you and Bob Fetrakis wrote a great piece that has appeared all over the place. I'm assuming it originated over at freepress.org. Loaves and Fishes, Holy Ghost Victory for the Grand Old Party for the GOP in November. You're suggesting that it's possible that the Republican Party might hold control of the House and the Senate, but not through the means that you'll hear about on CNN.
No, if the Republicans keep the House and the Senate, it will not be by a popular vote of the United States population. I mean, we have seen, especially since Ohio 2000, it just happens that Bob and I are in Columbus, and when they steal an election in front of your eyes and you have a website, you tend to want to write about it. And we have documented over 100 different ways that the election was stolen here in Ohio in 2004. We have that book I think I sent you called How the GOP Stole America's 2004 Election and Is Rigging 2008. And unfortunately, much of what they did in 2004 looks like they're going to try and do in 2006. Clearly a fair popular vote in the 2006 election would give both houses of Congress to the Democrats. It could happen, but I'm not convinced that it's a slam dunk here especially because of the electronic voting machines.
Let's talk about some of the categories of vote fraud. I guess the electronic voting machines is something that everybody gets, everybody understands. Give us a snapshot of that, but then I'd like to get into some of the more subtle things that you discovered happened in Ohio in 2004.
Well, the most important thing that's happened actually between 2000 and 2006 is the elimination of 10% of the electorate in the state of Ohio. Through various means, four county boards of elections in Ohio, there are 88, but only four of them have eliminated upwards of 500,000 voters from the voter rolls, and they're all in hardcore Democratic areas in Cleveland, Cincinnati, Columbus, and Toledo. 500,000 votes or voters represents almost 10% of the 5.6 million people who voted in the 2004 election. And this is going on, Republican legislature here, the majority of the people in Ohio are Democrats, but the legislature, because of gerrymandering, is very heavily Republican, and they have passed a bill that very severely restricts voter registration drives and who can actually vote, what kind of ID you need when you turn up to vote. And we think that many, many people have been stripped from the voter rolls without being notified and are going to turn up to vote a week from, this coming Tuesday, and not know that they're not eligible to vote.
And 500,000 votes, that's might be enough to even get Ken Blackwell elected governor?
Well, that's a stretch. But, you know, I think Blackwell is a distraction at this point from the key races between Mike DeWine and Sherrod Brown for U.S. Senate. And then there are a number of very, at least four and possibly more very competitive congressional races going on in the state that right. could actually determine who controls the House of Representatives.
So you've got pollsters calling people and asking if you're registered to vote, and people in Democratic areas where the Republicans have purged 500,000 voters in these four counties, these four heavily Democratic counties, people answering the phone saying, yes, I'm registered to vote. Who are you going to vote for? I'm going to vote for the Democrat. Okay, great. We'll chalk that up. And the polls are all showing the Democrats are way ahead. When these guys show up at the polls, they're going to be told, well, here, you get to have a placebo ballot instead of a real ballot because we can't find your name. So you get called a provisional ballot.
It's a provisional ballot, and we found in 2004 that many tens of thousands of provisional ballots were merely pitched in the trash right at the polling stations. that, you know, if you left off a birth date, for example, most people were not told that you were supposed to put on your birth date. It's not part of the law. But at the last minute, Ken Blackwell said, well, we've got to have their birthday on there. And even the poll workers didn't know that. And then the provisional ballots went downtown, and they were thrown in the trash. Nobody even knew that you had to put your birthday on there. They've put a whole layer of requirements on the ballot that are going to disqualify, again, many tens of thousands of people. We are certain that John Kerry won the 2004 election in Ohio. We've actually won a court battle preserving the ballots from Ohio in a preliminary investigation. We've shown things like 350 people consecutively allegedly voted for Bush, things like that. And what we're expecting...
Just not possible.
It's, you know, well, it is, no, it's not. Well, that's what we call it, the Holy Ghost vote count. And you know, what people are going to run into on Tuesday, primarily, we think that the great hidden disenfranchisement is that they've used computer rules, not only in Ohio, but around the country, to eliminate people from the registration rolls.
Now, do you have early voting in Ohio?
Yes, we do. Well, what happened is this is another piece of it. They legalized absentee ballots. It used to be you had to say you were going to be out of the county to get one. They say now, well, you can get an absentee ballot, you know, whatever, however you want. But out of the blue, Blackwell decided to demand a driver's license number on the absentee ballot. Then it turns out that there's two numbers on your driver's license. People are thoroughly confused. At least 10% put on the wrong driver's license. Then we sued. I'm actually a plaintiff in the lawsuit. There was a 13-hour negotiation yesterday, and that requirement has actually been lifted. But many, many requirements for people who actually turn up at the polls are still in place, and you're going to have long lines again in the inner cities with people being turned away who thought they were registered. And it's a disaster that will have a clear and present impact on who actually holds the Congress.
So there isn't actually early voting in Ohio like there is in many states where you can actually go in right now. And in Texas, for example, people can go in and push a button on an electronic voting machine. That's not going to happen until Tuesday.
No, but you can go in and get an absentee ballot and drop it right in there.
But absentee ballot is different than the actual day of voting.
Yes, and they will, you know, and the question is when they get counted and who counts them. I mean, we still have in Ohio the election was decided in Ohio by about 118,000 votes, putting George Bush in the White House for a second time in 2004. There's still more than 100,000 votes from 2004 that haven't been counted. You can believe that they're still there. They haven't been counted.
Whoa.
And so, you know, we're expecting more and more of that kind of thing on this coming Tuesday.
Why have they not been counted?
Because Ken Blackwell doesn't want to count them. There's, you know, the law has not compelled him to count them, and he doesn't feel obliged. And they're just sitting there. Provisional ballots and spoil ballots. These are ballots that were marked but couldn't get through the tabulators for some reason.
Machines.
And they're actually sitting there, the paper ballots.
Yeah. So what should Americans do? What should people do if they all around the country? Because I know you write and talk about this nationwide. This isn't just an Ohio issue for you.
Right.
Although you've done a brilliant job, you and Bob Fitrakis, a brilliant job of exposing what's going on in Ohio and wrote a great book about it. But all around the country, somebody shows up to vote and they're told your name's not on the list. What do you do?
You videotape what's going on, you take affidavits, and then you go under oath. We're urging people in every congressional district to hold public hearings after the election and have a court stenographer there so that the testimony or the affidavits are admissible in court. We did that after the 2004 election. We have over 1,000 affidavits and sworn testimonies that are admissible in court as to what happened in the 2004 election. So this has to be documented. It's no longer enough just to show up to vote.
Yeah.
You have to document what happened.
Preserve a good record of it. By the way, just lest I forget, tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, although check your local availability, Hacking Democracy, this documentary is going to be on HBO.
And yes, and I hear it's quite good.
It is. I saw it. I moderated a panel of filmmakers, and we previewed it at Bioneers a week ago Saturday. And it's not just quite good. It's mind-boggling.
Oh, good.
It's mind-boggling.
Good. We also, there's a fine film called Stealing America Vote by Vote by Dorothy Fadiman that's out there, and another one by David Earnhardt. So we're definitely getting some good documentaries out there.
Yeah.
And this, you know, people can't take the vote for granted anymore. It's not just enough to go in and vote.
And you can learn all about it over at harveywasserman.com or freepress.org. Harvey Wasserman, the Free Press senior editor. Harvey, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, keep up the great work, Tom. Great show.
You too, and good luck teaching about the rise of the Nazis. That's grim stuff.
The good news about that is that they also fell.
There you go. 16 minutes past the hour.
I heard a voice. I thought it was God. It said,
You're lost, old man, and your system is wrong.
It was so scary, I was so terrified. That morning I decided it was time to change sides. I'm a Republican now. The party elect. I'm a Republican now.
I got red on my neck.
I'm a Republican now.
We ain't having no sex.
I'm holier than thou. I'm a Republican now.
Yes. Welcome back. 21 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-440-8466. 440-THOM, our telephone number. Robbie in Chile, New Mexico. Hey, Robbie, what's up?
Oh, hey, how you doing, Tom?
Good.
There's a really good article going around, kind of a follow-up to Iran, A Bridge Too Far.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of it's Striking the U.S. Where It Hurts. If you Google that, you'll be amazed at the amount of traction it's got.
Okay.
And I'm kind of wondering if we got somebody else that might want to interfere with our elections, and that might be the Iranians.
Or the Chinese.
Yeah.
Frankly, and the thing that I think that these guys want is they want Bush and the Republicans because they like the kind of policies that he's polarizing the world against us. He's turning the world against us. He's destroying America, and they're loving it. They're just absolutely loving it. I mean, we have given China absolute power over the future of the United States by all of this debt that we've handed off to them. I mean, it's absolutely mind-boggling.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, if you look at two of what they've been doing lately with blinding our satellites, that's not something that a friendly nation does.
There you go. Well said. Robbie, thanks a lot for the call. Peter Goldmark is on the line with us. VotePeterGoldmark.com is the website. He's a candidate for Congress in Washington State's 5th District. VotePeterGoldmark.com. Hey, Peter, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Good morning.
Good morning. Tell us why, first of all, our listeners, we've been doing this, our Taking Our Country Back segment here for running up to the election, where we're telling folks all across the United States, even if you're not in the congressional district of the person you're listening to, if you like what you hear, go check out their website and throw some money their way or some, you know, whatever kind of help you can. Tell us your positions on a few issues here. Let's take the economy to start out with.
All right. I think the economy is a little precarious right now because of energy costs and because of our incredible expenditures overseas. And we need to find a way to control, the borrowing that we're doing. We're contributing a tremendous amount to our deficit and to our long-term debt. So we've got some issues about, controlling our spending, quite frankly. And some large expenditures overseas, large amounts of waste in our port projects, and waste in the Katrina response, and waste in the Iraq rebuilding problem there. So we've got to find a way to bring pork spending under control, got to find a way to eliminate a lot of this excessive waste from Homeland Security and from rebuilding. But we can do it. The American people have been really good about stepping forward and working hard. But we have to provide some fiscal responsibility in Congress, and that's one of the major reasons that I'm running.
What's
your
take? Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying we have to bring this borrowing under control so that we live within our means.
Yeah, amen. We're talking with Peter Goldmark. He's running for the 5th District in Washington State. I'm assuming you're running against a Republican incumbent, Peter?
That's correct. Freshman, a Republican incumbent.
Great. Great. And the website is VotePeterGoldmark.com. The occupation of Iraq, your take on this?
Well, it's a mess over there, and it's very clear right now that we haven't been really getting the straight story from the president or from our government about what's really going on over there. We have to find a way to motivate the Iraqi government, and maybe there are signs that they're doing that now, to step up, to take control of their own security, take control of their own country so that we don't have to stay there forever. I don't agree with the president that we're staying there indefinitely. I think that we have to leave after there's some infrastructure in place to provide for security and provide for governance, but I don't believe we stay there indefinitely.
You say Eastern Washington is facing a health care crisis. What would you do about it?
I'd find a way to take care of all the uninsured, which is, quite frankly, is driving up the cost for the rest of us. And there's some plans at the state level to create some more slots for the basic health care plan there to help small businesses and their employees find ways to provide lower-cost health care coverage. If the federal government will help fund those basic slots at the state level, and we can form some type of a coalition where employers and employees can also furnish up some so that they can, so that this consortium of federal, state, and employee and employer can provide for health care coverage for small businesses. This is where many people are uninsured, and we need to get these people in a state plan or a plan of some type so that they have coverage and so the rest of us don't have to carry them.
We're the only country in the industrialized world that has employer-based health care. Why not just go with Medicare for all?
We may, you know, that may be something that we eventually get to, but I'm not a believer in sort of huge leaps of change. I believe we have to do those things incrementally so that when we get to where we're going, we know where we're going and we know and we've taken steps to get there. I don't think that what was that the plan that the Clintons had, 10 or 12 years ago, that failed miserably. And I think it failed because it pretended to do something in one leap. And I don't support that type of change.
Okay. Peter Goldmark. VotePeterGoldmark.com is the website if you want to learn all about Peter and his positions. Good luck, sir.
Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for being on the program. 27 minutes past the hour of the Tom Hartman radio program. Viagra for your brain. Just don't tell Limbaugh. He'll want some. Zone. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, 34 minutes past the hour. In just a minute, we're going to be speaking with another candidate for Congress, an old and dear friend and just an extraordinary human being, Nancy Skinner. First, though, I want to check in with you, and all of us need to check in our regular time to do it here, on the situation with the U.S. occupation of Iraq.
I want to know who the men in the shadows are. I want to hear somebody asking them why. They can be counted on to tell us who our enemies are, but they're never the ones to fight or to die. And there are lives in the balance.
Following our security and other developments in Iraq as of 10:50 GMT today, this from Reuters. Dateline Baghdad, a roadside bomb in a market killed a man and wounded 22 others in the eastern New Baghdad district of the capital. In Mosul, a mortar round landed in a house and killed 2 people, wounded 7 others. In Baghdad, gunmen attacked a police patrol and killed 3 policemen, wounded another in the central part of the city. In Ramadi, U.S. forces conducted an airstrike in the insurgent stronghold city of Ramadi and killed a local al-Qaeda in Iraq leader and his driver on Wednesday, according to the U.S. military. A statement said Rafa al-Athawi, the emir of Shawaya, frequently harboring foreign fighters who entered Iraq illegally, was killed by that U.S. action. In Kirkuk, gunmen attacked a pharmacy and killed the pharmacist on Wednesday night. And in Baghdad, gunmen kidnapped a police colonel, Khalid Ibrahim, on Wednesday in the al-Shalik district in northern Baghdad, according to an Interior Ministry source. And still, as of this moment, as far as I know, as we haven't seen any change in the wire service, the American soldier who was recently taken hostage, who George Bush pulled back our troops searching for in Sadr City, is still being held hostage. Nancy Skinner is with us. Nancy, it's SkinnerForCongress.com is her website. Nancy Skinner. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, Tom.
we've come a long way, haven't we?
We really have. from back, you know, the Doug Steffen show and doing IE America Radio. And I mean, this isn't your first dip into politics. Not to portray you as just a radio person. You have quite a CV. But you are running right now as a Democrat in Michigan's 9th district. And this is a real important seat, and you have a real shot of winning.
Oh, my goodness. You know how we know that we do? It's so funny because he is attacking on all fronts, on TV, on network television. He just a new print piece, yet another attack piece in the mail and on radio. So I've been doing local TV interviews and responding. We are fighting right back, Tom. We're on network TV. You can see all our ads at SkinnerForCongress.com. Network, we got a new print piece. We're just trying to get our last print piece paid for, and I'll never ask for money again until I'm reelected, of course.
But right now, you could use some.
Yeah, we could. This last piece, it's a response. What he's doing is, you know, the attacks are everything. It's a Karl Rove classic off the page. She'll raise your taxes. I've never been in office, right? Nancy Skinner, she'll raise your taxes and cut and run in the war on terror. She wants to cut and run. I oppose the death penalty for terrorists. They are making up out of whole cloth and just putting it in all these mailings. So we have one response mailing. We have one response mailing that we're doing right now, and that's where we need to get the last $10,000 to. It's going to go to 60,000 persuadable voters. And so anyone, if you could help out a little bit, SkinnerForCongress.com, that's what we need to do here. And we feel good. We know that he's in trouble. Our polls have it at a dead heat, and we're watching the rest of the country, obviously, the national numbers, and this wave in Michigan, because Michigan, you know, Tom, we talked about this. We have a 7.2% unemployment rate. The economy, the auto industry is collapsing. So for us, it's even the climate is hotter than it is even nationally.
Yeah, and I want our listeners to know Nancy Skinner is a real progressive. She's you're the real thing. Skinner for Congress. .com, the website, if you'd like to contribute to Nancy's campaign. This is an opportunity to take Michigan's 9th district from a Republican. Who is the incumbent you're running?
His name is Joe Nolenberg, and he's been in office 14 years. There's such a contrast. I ran on global warming. I know Robert Kennedy Jr. did an endorsement television commercial for us saying, because it's the home of the auto industry, we need leaders like Nancy, and I've been working on global warming since 1992, Tom. Mm. And so we ran on that. Even when my pollster said, don't do it, you know, I did it, because I feel like I know how important this issue is. We have to have leadership. The autos, we consume 60% of oil in our vehicles. So if we want to reduce our dependence on oil from places like Iraq and Iran and Saudi Arabia, it has to happen. There has to be a Detroit solution. And that's why we need, I keep talking about the hydrogen economy and plug-in hybrids and the infrastructure. And he's attacking me saying I want to destroy the auto industry. That's part of his attack ad, because I want to, you know, move to this next generation of fuel-efficient vehicles. So my race actually affects the whole country in that, if we get some leadership and our automakers start getting smart about this and producing these vehicles with help from the leadership, then it's going to affect all of us.
Yeah. Amen. Skinner for Congress is the website. Nancy, what are the main issues in your mind in this election?
Nationally, I think Iraq is the number one issue nationally. Now, only here it's number two because of the pain we're feeling in the economy here. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it still is a very big issue here in Iraq. Senator Joe Biden was here for me last Friday campaigning, and I have signed on to his plan. And I don't know if you've had a chance to have him on the air to talk about it, Tom.
I haven't, but I'm familiar with the plan. It makes a lot of sense to me.
It does, because that's what it really has devolved into.
It's basically just taking us back to pre-World War I, the division. I mean, going back to the original three states of the Ottoman Empire.
Right, recognizing that those sects never got along to begin with. It was not as if we had a unified Iraq and we're trying to put it back together again. And it really, it's almost perfectly analogous to the situation in Bosnia 10 years ago, where we essentially, with time, and we didn't lose a single soldier in that effort, the protectorate that we formed from violence. And that's what it's about, negotiating a settlement. They're fighting over oil. There's oil in the north, oil in the south. Protecting minority rights, and then withdrawing our troops to the periphery at first, you know, to protect some of the borders, but that you have to stabilize the violence, and it's a civil war. It is a civil war. How can we win? My opponent keeps saying, stay the course, stay the course. Even when Bush has said it, he never said that. And my opponent continues to say we have to stay the course, but it's just a mindless slogan.
Yeah, it truly is, and a destructive one at that. Nancy Skinner, SkinnerForCongress.com is the website. Nancy, I wish you the very best, and again, I want to encourage our listeners to go to SkinnerForCongress.com, and if you've got an extra $10 or $20 or $50 or $100 or $1,000 or whatever you can afford, toss it Nancy's way, because she's the real deal, and this is a race that we can win.
Your listeners are great, Tom. You are fabulous. Thank you for being there. Every little contribution at this point, I believe it or not, we're buying every network. We're on Monday Night Football.
Well, good on you.
Every spot. Every hour you can adopt a radio spot, a TV. You can actually pick which spot to help us. And so it really does matter. And when we get into office, public financing of campaigns has to be how we fix this broken mess.
There you go. Amen. Nancy Skinner, SkinnerForCongress.com, the website. Nancy, good luck.
Thanks so much, Tom.
Thanks so much for being with us.
We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Indeed. I look forward to it. And I look forward to talking to you, Nancy, in the halls of Congress. I look forward to visiting your office in Washington, D.C. There you go. Hopefully it'll happen. It's 43 minutes past the hour, 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. And Karen in Sacramento, California on the line. Hey, Karen, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. Well, you had a guest on that was talking about voter fraud, and I had wanted to know if that Howard Dean message isn't getting out to many people, but there's an 800 number that's set up, 888-DEM-VOTE.
And that will give you what? Access to what?
Now, I heard Howard Dean talking about it on some show, but supposedly, if you're at a voter booth and you're having any kind of difficulty at all, or somebody's asking you to produce a license you didn't know you had to bring, supposedly you can call this hotline, and he even made the claim that they could possibly send someone out to help you.
That's interesting. David is going to call that number during the next break, and
okay.
we'll find out what the deal is, and if this is right, we'll get somebody on. You said it's 1-888. Dem vote, DEMVOTE.
That's correct. And yeah. I did call it, and I left a message saying I would like to volunteer. Nobody's returned my call.
Okay. So, Well, we'll track it down for you, Karen, and we'll find out, and we'll report back here on the program tomorrow.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. Jack in Seattle. Hey, Jack, what's on your mind today?
Hey, let me get you off the squawk box here. You still there?
I am.
Hi, I'm up in Dave Reichert country.
Oh, really?
Who ratted out the bus driver.
Yeah.
And that kind of irritates me. But you got to keep in mind, this guy is a cop. In his favor, he was the one who lassoed the Green River killer, the serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
But a cop is a cop, I'm afraid. So anyway, they.
But is it? When did it become a crime to give the finger to the president? I'm serious.
It's considered in poor taste up in Lhotse, Issaquah.
Well, it's considered in poor taste here. I consider it in poor taste. I think that, you know, but it's not a crime. I mean,
I'm jealous.
Yeah, you're jealous. Yeah, there you go. Jack, thanks a lot for the call and for helping to clarify the issues, as it were. 45 minutes past the hour at the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We'll be back with a few more of your calls and ongoing insanity of the world right after this.
Florida and 9/11 changed our world. Bush saw his chance, the flag was unfurled. The iceberg's tip was there to see, but we couldn't know how bad it would be. Ashcroft, Cheney, the lie in Iraq, Bill of Rights gutted by the Patriot Act. Energy, environment, deceptions go on until soon all our rights will be gone. Don't stand by while democracy dies. Don't stand by, don't swallow their lies. Don't stand by till we lose the prize. You've got to open your eyes.
And welcome back to the program where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? And we dare to say, no, not a chance! 9 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. Robert Perry over at Consortium News. Al-Qaeda wants Republicans to win. George W. Bush's blunt assertion that a Democratic victory in the November 7 elections means the terrorists win and America loses misses the point. that Osama bin Laden stands to advance his strategic goals much faster with a Republican victory. Indeed, as U.S. intelligence analysts have come to understand, there is a symbiotic relationship between Bush's blunderbuss war on terror and bin Laden's ruthless strategy of terrorist violence, one helping the other. Last April, a national intelligence estimate representing the consensus view of the U.S. intelligence community, this is the CIA, NSA, Naval Intelligence, Air Force Intelligence, Department of Defense, and I mean right across the 30 different intelligence agencies, concluded that Bush's Iraq war had become the cause célèbre that had helped spread Islamic extremism around the globe. In June, U.S. intelligence also learned from an intercepted al-Qaeda communique that bin Laden's terrorist band wants to keep U.S. soldiers bogged down in Iraq as the best way to maintain and expand their influence. Prolonging the war is in our interest, wrote Atiyah, one of bin Laden's top lieutenants. His letter and other internal al-Qaeda communications reveal that one of the group's biggest worries has been that a prompt U.S. military withdrawal might expose how fragile al-Qaeda's position is in Iraq and may cause many young jihadists to lay down their guns and go home, go back to work. So, you know, it's like the old slogan, you know, if you're driving alone, you're driving with Osama. Well, it's even, if you want to vote for Osama, vote Republican. 1-866-440-8466. Janet in Medina, Washington. Hey, Janet, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's Medina.
Medina, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I live in the neighborhood where Reichert came to the fundraiser for Reichert with Bush.
Uh-huh.
We are neighbors with Bill Gates, so it's, you know, it's not a middle-class neighborhood.
Yeah.
We're used to a lot of high-profile people. When Bush came for a big fundraiser the summer of 2004, about half the neighborhood was supporting Kerry, by the way, at least half of the 3,000 people that live here. I stood on the corner. I mean, we'd been swept. I mean, the dogs had been out, you know, sniffing our driveways. And, you know, we're used to it. When Bill Clinton came, he used to get out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
But when Bush came around the corner, I gave him the finger, and I hadn't planned to do it. I just got so furious. I'm a 56-year-old ordinary housewife with two daughters who were with me. And he thought he was right there in the car in the corner of the seat waving. And the Secret Service and about two dozen heavy-duty black Suburbans have their windows halfway down with 50-caliber machine guns, and they pointed all of them at me.
You're kidding.
No.
They
no.
pointed machine guns at you for giving the finger to George Bush?
They had them out, and they were. And then when he left, I heard the helicopters come in because they sweep the area, so I knew he was leaving. And I went down to the corner, and everybody else had kind of dispersed. And I was standing there in a pair of, you know, running shorts and a T-shirt, and I had my sign that said, you know, liar, liar, pants on fire. And when he went racing by, then the Secret Service, he had the machine gun out the window. And when he saw me, then he reconfigured it so that he had, you know, a right aim on me.
The guy, the Secret Service guy with the machine gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
But I had...
What has happened to our country, Janet?
Yeah, I've been told that probably they have a file on me now. But,
oh, yeah.
You know,
count on it.
That's it. But I did have a dinner, a private dinner a couple of months ago with Jay Inslee, who's one of the congressmen from Washington State.
I know Jay Inslee. Yeah, he's a good man.
He is. He's wonderful. And Joseph Wilson. And I told them about him. Well, they praised me. But Joseph Wilson said, if they can come after me and my family, they can come after you.
Yeah, and that's it's the Pastor Niemöller moment. You know, first they came for the communists, and I was
right.
not a communist,
that's
et cetera.
Right. So I continue to speak out. I will. If we have to get out on the street, I have a button on my purse that says Jail Bush. And
yeah, well, good on you, Janet. Thanks for sharing your story with us.
It's frightening.
It is, and it's also challenging. I mean, this is not the America that I
grew up in.
Yeah, exactly, and that the founders envisioned, and that, frankly, I think most Americans want. And so
I will not be afraid.
Yeah, that's...
And I, quite frankly, think Bush is the one who's afraid. That's why
sure.
he threatens us.
Of course, absolutely. He's playing the schoolyard bully routine, and the schoolyard bully is always always ultimately the biggest coward.
Yes,
Janet, thank you very much. I got to move along here.
Bye.
Good talking with you. Jim in Pittsburgh, we have just a few seconds here, Jim. 30
yeah.
seconds.
Well, the news come out, Bechtel is going to pull out of Iraq because of sabotage and fraud.
interesting. They've announced
all the money
that.
That we gave them. But in Pennsylvania here, Rick Santorum stooped to a new low. Now his ad saying, I work with the likes of Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi and all that. This man is really...
You're kidding?
That's his ads now.
Rick Santorum is now advertising that he works with, that he likes Nancy Pelosi and...
Yeah.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Man. Yeah, it is. It really is. Jim, thanks for the heads up.
Good to
talk to you. Coming up on tomorrow's program, Congressman Bernie Sanders, the longest-serving independent in the history of the House of Representatives, Brunch with Bernie. He'll be here taking your calls. And, of course, more discussion about electile dysfunctions, voting alerts, elections coverage continues right through November 7th, voting day. That and more, and your calls right here on the Tom Hartman program. Remember, if you live in an area where you can vote early, get out there and vote, and be sure and take some way of recording it with you. Although I'm hearing maybe it's illegal. I don't know. We'll talk about that tomorrow, too. Remember.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Well, you can remember that, too. But the important part is democracy starts with you. Tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.